If you have your Bibles, open up today to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. In today's message, I had down, let's get busy. But I changed it to let's get started. Because when I put down let's get busy, I thought, life is busy enough, is it not? We've got to be here and there and get to these activities and those activities. And then we have to choose what activities we get involved in and what we don't. If you're a parent that has to get children around, that can be very busy in your schedule as well. There's church activities, that keeps us busy. If you're a teenager and you're driving, you have to get to your own activities. There's a lot going on. I know my son has band practice last week and this week, twice a day. He's got to find ways to get there and back, so somebody's busy getting them there and back. Life is busy enough, so I changed it from let's get busy to let's get started. So I want to get started, and I thought we come back from Falls Creek with our teens. We've come off a series improving our posture, and we talked about what we change on the outside, but that really doesn't affect us on the inside. And our relationship with Jesus Christ is based on what's inside of us. The outside doesn't matter to Jesus. You think Jesus cares about the missing hair on my head? He gave me every hair I had on my head. And then when I had those, he took them away when he wanted to. Thank you. Jesus doesn't care. His word says, you people worry about what's on the outside. Me? I'm concerned with what's on the inside, he told them. He cares about our inner being. And improving our posture was all about not what we do on the outside. And by the way, when we talked about prayer, it's really what's going on inside our hearts when we pray. Oh, let me take the posture. Anybody looking? Back in the old days, we used to make fun of our... I shouldn't say it. Never mind. We didn't... Stop with the jokes, Adam. They just don't float all the time. They're not good and they're not biblical. So anyway, a lot of people are praying with a posture that looks like they're being very reverent and possibly even religious, but they're not. They don't mean anything. We talked about that as we got in. So I want to get started with what's on the inside, changing our posture on the inside, studying God's word, passing God's word on to other people, and then what we do with our own life. We have the opportunity Thursday to go to the food bank. That's this coming Thursday, correct? I won't be in town, so I apologize. I didn't make a gigantic note, but August 4th, I believe, Thursday, August 4th. A great opportunity to go down there. That's a way of stretching ourselves to help other people. So in 1 Corinthians, we'll get there. And we'll talk about that, but as we talk about getting busy, years ago I worked a job, and there was a young lady, and I thought, I don't think she's too productive. And so I spent one morning following her around. She was very busy, don't get me wrong, she was very busy. Wasted 8 hours a day of my payroll. She was not very productive. And God's people can be the same way. All about everything, yet doing nothing. And I followed this young lady around for about 2 hours, just making notes. And of course, when you do that, guess what I did? I just wasted 2 hours of my time having to document what she was or was not doing. And even though she was busy, she was on this side of the store and back there and over here and up front. She was all over. And what I found out was, she was busy getting birthday cards on the clock for employees who had birthdays coming up. And then she would spend her time walking around and having everyone sign it. But that took a lot of time. So a close reveal of her watch said, oh, it's break time. So then I watched her spend 20 minutes, this is no joke, 20 minutes, walking around the entire store, gathering up her friends, telling them we're going to take break. Oh, you need 5 minutes? Okay, I'll wait. So she'd stay busy for 5 minutes walking around talking to other people till all the friends were ready at the right time, and then they would all take their break. And so almost two and a half hours of her doing nothing, yet being very busy. So today's message is, let's get started. We are busy enough, let's get started being about God's work. Amen? All right. Well, let's get started with the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we talk out, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 17, and then we'll hit a couple in the end there. But 1 through 17, and it's a lot of verses. And I was going to skip some of this, but I think it's important. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." Anyone feel themselves still carnal? I've been here forever. They've been feeding me this little stuff, but I'm still not ready and prepared for the big food. "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Verse 5, I love this part though. "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters." You guys get that? Neither one of them is anything. But God who gives the increase, that's the something. "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Verse 9 talks about our works and what we do here on earth. And it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." And remember when we talked several weeks ago about praying for rain. But when we do that, if we're not preparing the field for rain, we're missing the opportunity. And this says that we are God's field. And he is trying to prepare us as well for the rain and for the increase. Verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." So again, as we go through and we do God's work, that will go through the fire. And some of that stuff that's busy work, and there's a lot of busy work at church that needs to be done, but that's different than just pretending I'm busy and being religious and doing no work for the church, for God's people, for his lost, for his saved. And so some of our work, when it goes through that fire, will be burned up. And verse 14 says, "If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward." That's the work that matters. "If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Let's take just a minute here to check that out. Do you not know that you all are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." As we look through that stuff, we can go back there and we can say, okay, let's look at this. Verse 4. "For one says, 'I am of Adam,' and another says, 'I am of Eric.' Are you not carnal?" And I'm not supposing that there's any strife here or anything like that. I'm just saying to put it in terms that we can understand. "For who then is Adam and who then is Eric? But ministers through whom you've believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Adam planted, Eric watered, but God gave the increase." And we do that sometimes in the King's Kids, that we break it down and say, see if you can understand it like this. Because we can think, I don't get that. That's about Paul and some dude named Apollos. And and all that stuff. But we can put Eric and Adam in there. For who then is Eric and who then is Adam? They're people you believed in. Now flip over, if you would, to just at the end of that chapter. And it says in verse 21, "Therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's." I love that. We've settled that. We are God's people. Amen? When we do the work, point number one. When we do the work for God and His glory. So when we get busy, we can do things that aren't for God and His glory. But when we get started, what we're talking about today is getting started to work for God. And when we do that work, make it for His glory. And do not boast in yourself or men. You see, we don't have anything. God gave us whatever we have. We didn't get all this wisdom and knowledge. We can say, hey, I put myself through school. I learned all this. That's great. God gave you that ability. He gave you that knowledge. He gave you that understanding. He may give people the desire, but if He doesn't give them the understanding for what they're studying, it doesn't do any good. So work for God in His glory, not boasting in yourself or in man. The very end of that I do love, and we're going to flip down in verse 4, chapter 4 also. And I want to read just a little bit out of that as well. I was going to skip this, but I really just feel like this stuff connects us. And in chapter 4, verse 1 through 13, it does have a lot, again, but I think it's important into where we're going when we are working and getting started for God and to further His business, if you will. And it says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Well, the very first thing says, we are servants of Christ. Servants of Christ help each other out, and they help others out. Verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." We have to be faithful followers. "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by a human court." He says, "I don't even judge myself." And then he goes down in verse 5 and says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things," listen up church, "the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart." The Lord will judge when He comes, and He will bring both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Whatever we've done in secret and in darkness, man, His light reveals that to us and sometimes to others. Now this is what I love though. It says in verse 6, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive from God? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Here we're back into the boasting business. "You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us," He displayed us, the apostles, "last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Well, that's not a very fancy picture for the apostles who are serving Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, listen, he says, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul has sent Timothy. Pardon me, this isn't an illustration, but a necessity. So Paul has sent Timothy. And he said, imitate me. For this reason I sent Timothy to you. And he calls him my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. And he says, he will remind you. So when we get busy and go out there and we're doing God's work, we need people to remind us. Work in meekness and work in humility. I read a story about a guy that went to a monastery to get the busyness out of his life. One of the monks met him, and the monk said, if you need anything while you're here, let us know, and we will teach you how to do without it. And I thought, oh, I like that. So many things we think we need. But here the apostles are out there doing it in meekness and in humility. People are making fun of them, mocking them. They've been beaten. They've been thrown in jail a couple times, beaten a couple times. Let's flip over to 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, and we'll find out how Timothy is doing after Paul had sent him out to different places. First Timothy, chapter 6, if you would. And we'll read verses 3 through 10, and it says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. And then from that comes envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And those men suppose that godliness is a means of gain. It says, from such people, withdraw yourself. Stay away from them. Withdraw yourself from such people. And he goes on and says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of it. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say for the love of money is the root, but it says is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We want to get up there and we want to do great things. And by the way, when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he again refers to him as a true son in the faith, saying just exactly how fond he is of him. So Paul's trained up Timothy and said, hey, I need you to go out there And when you teach God's Word, you need to be consistent with it. And you need to not let people twist it. Because, by the way, in these different churches in Ephesus and Corinth, that's what they're doing. They're taking what we've taught you, what Jesus Christ has said, and they're twisting it to their own use. And by the way, there's leaders in those churches, and they're getting themselves all puffed up, thinking that I'm never going to come back to visit this church or that church. I'm not going to visit them. I'm not going to check up on them. And I don't care what they're teaching there. I've given them their business and they can go on. So Paul sent Timothy to check up on them, said, there's some stuff going on there that's not right. They're trying to make a name for themselves. They're trying to get this position. They're doing things that aren't biblical, that we haven't taught you to teach them. And we don't want to follow those things. Learn and teach properly. And it says that actually in verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. So we want to keep true to God's Word. And again, when we boast in ourselves, or boast in others, or boast in men, it's a losing battle. We don't want to use religion to beat other people up. A game of words and a game of hey, I know all this about this and this. Well, I don't know that, but I'm sure it's not God's Word. Or I'm sure it's not biblical and He doesn't want us to believe this and live this way. You see, the Pharisees did that. They dressed themselves up. And the outside was nice. And they had a lot of wisdom and knowledge about the Old Testament. And they'd use that to their advantage. And they would lord themselves over the other people, making them believe that they were something greater than what they were. Pastor Eric and myself are mere mouthpieces for God. We're just like you. We study, we learn. But God has put in us something different to teach others. But we do that with meekness and humility. The work is for God and His glory, and not for us. There's teachers and preachers, famous and not famous, who take God's Word and find a little something. And if they can grow a following around that only, then that's where they go and that's where they are. And they use greed and in the promise of being known to many others is a great thing. And sometimes, as it said, many have strayed from the faith, or some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Pursuing that. We don't want to do that. Not in God's church. Amen. It's for their gain, for their publicity. It's for their boasting in themselves and their work, rather than boasting in God and His work. Point number three. If you're keeping track, point number one was work for God and His glory. Point number two, work in meekness and humility. Point number three, we want to keep God's Word clean and orderly. In other words, we don't want to twist it to blaspheme God or to make a name, to get in arguments about His Word and using those to beat other people up. Keep God's Word clean and straight and orderly. Flip back a few books to Galatians chapter 6 and we'll close with this. Galatians chapter 6. We actually started a Bible study a couple years back in Galatians, and I remember this very specifically, as we actually started at the end of Galatians and worked our way back to the beginning of Galatians in our Bible study. And I'm sure at that point many of you thought, okay, he's going to be leading our Bible study now. He started at the back and is moving forward. But I did that intentionally so we could learn some things at the very end and then work our way to the front of Galatians. And it says in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of" what? "Gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Now listen carefully to these next couple of verses. It says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." And verse 5 says, "For each one shall bear his own load." And I remember during the Bible study we talked about this, about bearing each other's burdens. Yet this thing just said, "For each one shall bear his own load." That means that we have to be responsible for ourselves. But when others are having troubles and difficulty, we're to come alongside them and help them bear their burden. Bear one another's burdens. But that doesn't mean take on all their responsibilities. You see, that's their load. Their load is one thing that they carry. Their burden is another that you help them with. And it goes on in verse 6 to say, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Uh-oh. I better read that again. "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." We're here to help one another out and help those that teach out. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Very familiar in Christian churches to hear that phrase at some point. "Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will also reap to his flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good." I've done a message on this as well about not growing weary. "Let us not grow weary while doing good." Why? "For in due season we shall reap if," there's that little word, "if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good." To who? To who? To all. "Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Well, I love that. Do good to all. It goes on to say down here in verse 14, it says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." So we've talked a couple times about not boasting in ourselves. And this says, "God forbid that I should boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 6, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Not a huge point, but a small point. Just do it. Those who have taught you, help them out. And by the way, our job is to teach other people about that. Verse 7. "For whatever man sows, he shall also reap." What are you sowing? What seeds are you sowing? And you may say, "Hey, I'm sowing some good seeds." That's great. But out of your other pocket, did you also commingle those seeds with some weed seeds? And now where you're dropping good seed, you're also doing some other things and going, we've got this and that growing up there where it should be. Verse 9, "Do not grow weary." And it says, "You will reap if you do not grow weary." If, it says, "if you do not lose heart also." So you will reap what you've sown if you don't grow weary. Verse 10, "Do good to all." Man, we've got to start being better people. We've got to start being better people, church. Too many of us are Jekyll and Hyde. Hallelujah, forget you. Let me pray for you. Get out of here. I hate you. We've got that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and God says, I can't do that. Man, we've got to come through. We've got to prune the branches. What does it say about the water? You can't get both good water and bad water from the same spring. You can't get this fruit and that fruit from the same tree. It's the same thing with us. We have got to get started changing ourselves and changing what's on the inside. We've got to be better people to one another. Oh, let's go back to the very beginning there. Let's see. Restore such a one in a spirit of, what did we say? Gentleness. Chapter 6, verse 1. In a spirit of gentleness. When we correct others, in a spirit of gentleness. You know, I don't talk politics from the pulpit, and I'm not talking politics other than to say this isn't about a candidate or not. But I got to tell you, I was a little encouraged by Barack Obama's speech the other night, and I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw parts of it. And it doesn't mean I'm for him or against him, but I tell you what I loved was what he talked about the American people and our spirit as Americans. And that's what I liked. And as he talked about others, he said, they've made mistakes. And I've made mistakes, just like all of you have. And it's the same thing really in the church as it is in America. We're all different. We have different languages. We have different faiths. We have different sexual beliefs and values. We have different colors of skin, different ethnic backgrounds in the church and in America. In the church, in some places, I'm not saying in this church, but in some places, it's pulling apart and they're warring against each other. And America is doing that at places also. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, and we have talked about that, opportunity versus obligation, where we have opportunity, let us do good to all. I was driving home Friday. I'm ready to get home. Oh, it's the weekend. Thank you, Jesus. I enjoy my job, but thank you for the weekend. And as I was about to take that curve going around I-40, around Scott Street down there, I-35 and I-40, I see it backing up. I thought, uh-oh. And I hoofed it to the right, went up I-35 to 10th Street. Thought, I'll just take a straight shot down 10th Street. Then as I did it, I immediately looked over and thought, ah, it was just for about 50 feet, you know. Then it was all clear. So, didn't matter, I'm on my way. And I take the exit, and I see some gentleman pushing his car. Well, I knew how hot it was. And I thought, that guy needs help. I didn't care what I was wearing. And it was an African-American gentleman. He had three little kids in the car. And I got out to help him push. And I was very surprised as I saw a guy hold a sign. Anything will help, food, whatever. And he put that down and he came over to help. Very touched by that in itself. And so as we pushed him into the gas station there, I said, are you out of gas? And he jumped. What happened? He said, man, my battery's dead. It just stopped. I said, do you have cables? He said, well, let's go. I'll jump you. So we sat there messing with that for a little bit. And his daughter got out of the car, and she was probably 5 or 6, and she looked up at me and she said, are you here to help us? And I said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. Thank you very much. Everyone else kept passing by us and no one would help us. I thought, oh, man, probably too many people in their suits or something. Didn't want to get them filthy. Wanted to start the weekend. I'm not boasting in myself. I'm saying we have to take opportunity to do good. I love nothing more than when I take time to turn around to help somebody, only to have somebody else beat me to that. Thank God people are out there helping people. Help one another out. Be good to one another. Stop this Jekyll and Hyde. I don't think I want to be a Christian because I see them and man, they are just nasty as could be to me at work. Why would I want to follow their example? Something's wrong there. Yeah, it is. But so many times that's the example we give. And by we, I mean we Christians. Point number four. It's very simple. Do good to all. Point number four, do good to all. You know, Jesus, after his crucifixion and resurrection, met the apostles. And he was a little perturbed with them. These others believed that I was resurrected, but you guys didn't. Until what? You wanted to see the holes in my hand. It wasn't enough that they took one of these and drove it through there. But you had to see the hole because you wouldn't just believe. Others believed without seeing. And he was a little frustrated. But when he left them, he gave them the Great Commission. And he said, I want all of you. I want you to go out and preach the word. Preach his name. And preach the word in his name's sake. And he said, do it and do it to all the world. We do have a lot of obligations in life. But aside from that, there are a lot of opportunities in life. And life gets better when we take some of those obligations and turn them into opportunities. And it becomes so much easier to work that way. And so much easier to give that way. It's so much easier to volunteer that way when we have the opportunity, whether it's fellowship or to help a person or to change a person's life. Let's get started, church. Let's get started. Let's start being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, both as a church and as individuals. I keep telling you guys, you don't have to get a group of people together to go and be good to someone. Or to go do your own private mission, if you will, to help somebody out. So let's not get busy. We're all busy enough. But let's get started. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word. God, as we've learned today, we have some simple things that we can do to be effective for you. Let the things we do be working for you and your glory. When we do it, let us do it in meekness and humility. Let us do it through your word, keeping your word pure and clean and undefiled. And then when we think that we can only be good to those around us or those we know, help teach us in the example here in Galatians to do good to all. God, we all desire spiritual change to transform us, to transform our lives. When we believe in you, when we called on your name, your promise and your word is, we are a new creation. And as a new creation, we have to put off the old man and put on the new man. And when we do that, we have to keep the new man on. And we do that through transforming ourselves, renewing our mind daily. Studying your word daily. Accountability daily with other believers. Lord, when we have to correct others, let us do it in a spirit of gentleness. Let us do it for accountability's sake, not for the I got you sake. If you're here today and you say it's time for me to get started, whether it's through church ministries, your own personal life, your own personal studies, as we pray, would you just lift up your hand that we can continue praying for you? If it's you today that says, it's time for me to get started, lift up your hand if you would in boldness. Thank you for the hands. Thank you. Keep raising your hands. Thank you. God, for those that have raised their hand today, I thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to help give them boldness in stepping up, whether it's a personal devotion, a personal study, or one to help others. It may be something through work, through school, through the home, or through the church. I ask you to lift them up today. Lord, help us look at the simple acts of the Bible that we can do to transform our lives first, getting started to transform our lives first and others second. Being a difference in ourselves and then being a difference in other people's lives. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.